The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Scott Mangum. Thank you, Scott, so much for joining us.
Oh, you bet. Glad to be here, Ben.
So the first question I love to ask everybody is, how in the world did you get into the HVAC industry?
That's a great question. We all have mentors in our life, and who knows when that mentor will come into play. I met a gentleman years ago that worked for a manufacturer when I was younger. And we reconnected, and he hired me and brought me into that industry. And 24 years later, here I am.
All right. So you've seen many different facets of the industry, right? You've been on the manufacturing side.
I have, yes. Yeah, I've been with three different manufacturers, covering multiple states with them, and just kind of pouring into contractors and territory sales managers and just kind of watching that whole process. And everybody's different how they do things, but I've seen a lot.
And then you moved on over to the contracting side.
I did. I had an urge a number of years ago to kind of get into that side. I really enjoyed my time training and working with contractors and learned a lot from them. And I had that feeling that I wanted to be part of my home community, and bought my hometown AC company and ran that, and had a great time growing that business.
So that's really interesting. I think there's probably a lot of people that may be on this particular show today that are in the process of, or maybe thinking about, going out and starting their own business. What words of wisdom or advice would you have for somebody that is thinking that way, or maybe in the process of it already?
Oh, you know, for sure. That's a great question. I think, especially looking back, I think you have to know what you're good at, and then know where your blind spots are. I realized I was really good at running a business, encouraging people, growing people in their skills. My weakest area was the technical side, and I knew I needed somebody that loved that. I understood it, but I didn't love it. So I was able to find a partner, so to speak, that came in as a service manager, really helped guide that whole division, which let me concentrate on the things I was doing well. Now, you have to know everything. You have to have your hands in all of it, but I think you do have to know what your limits are and be honest with yourself on that.
I think that's such great advice for anybody that's looking to do this. So you got into the business. Tell us a little bit about the business. Where was it at when you purchased it? And then, you know, how did it evolve as time went on?
Yeah. So the business I have is in Central Texas, which was a pretty growing market for sure. And the contractor I bought it from was near retirement, and he had grown the business to a certain level. And when I looked at that company, I loved the reputation he had in town. I did research that. The community that he was really focused on was a large retirement community, but hadn't reached some of the growing parts of the city just because of his demographic. And so I saw potential and I saw growth opportunity there without having to go out too far. But the thing that really drew me to it, he had a pretty good amount of maintenance contracts. So that let me know I had a customer base that wasn't only just tied to him. It was something as a base where I could go into and start building relationships over the years. And I was able to triple that in that amount of time just to kind of keep building on that relationship. That was a really key piece for me.
And so you grew the business. And how long were you in the business before you decided, hey, I think we might want to look at transitioning and actually exiting the business?
Yeah. Well, you know, in all my wisdom, I bought the business right before COVID. So my wife and I kind of joked about timing's everything. But what I learned through that piece, we were able to stay as an essential company. We didn't lay anybody off. We actually grew. We added more people. And in that process, I realized, hey, I either want to grow and acquire others, or I want to grow and be acquired. And I was hoping between a 5 and 7 year time frame. And so around that 5 year mark, there was a huge activity of private equity firms, small and large, that were knocking on doors. I looked at a couple, some didn't make sense. And then a more of a local gentleman reached out, and it made sense because he really did care for the business we had grown. and didn't just want the name. He wanted to actually continue to grow that as well. So it made sense for us to kind of take that next step out.
So there's a lot of decisions you have to make when you're looking at your exit strategy, right? I think in some of those instances, an owner may agree to stay on with the business for a while. Mm-hmm. In your case, though, you chose that you weren't going to stay on, correct?
Yeah, we did. There was, in the discussion, I offered to help him make the transition. Mm-hmm. I said, I'd be more than happy. I love the industry. Wasn't looking to exit the industry. And he said, thank you, no thank you. His process was that he found sometimes that you could have some friction that way, mm-hmm. even with the best intentions. And I respect that. I mean, that's true. I think for me, as we approach that, I needed to figure out, I'm not ready to retire. What am I going to do next? And I think that was probably the hardest decision piece of making that choice, because I still had plans to grow the business. And so you just never know when that opportunity comes your way, and you do have to be prepared for it. I would say one of the biggest pieces that probably drew him to my company was those maintenance contracts I mentioned. We had moved them from what I inherited, about 800, to about 1800 when I left. And so he saw that, hey, we had a healthy business. We had customers that weren't just going to stay with me, just like I saw with the previous owner. And it really really created value for him that he was willing to acquire the company.
Let's talk about employees a little bit. So when you acquired the business, I'm assuming there were probably employees that were involved when you bought into the business.
Yes.
And of course, you have employees that are involved when you're exiting the business. How, you know, what kind of things go through your mind? You've built, obviously, relationships with these people. You probably know their families, and you know quite a bit about some of the struggles that they've gone through and seen them with some of their big achievements that they've made as well.
Right.
So what are some of the things that went through your mind in that particular instance?
Yeah, well, when I bought the company, I inherited a couple of tenured contract technicians who I really trusted. They really knew the industry, had a lot of years behind them, and they were excited for a new direction. Not that they were unhappy with where they were before, but I went ahead and kept on the office manager since she had good rapport and relationships, and that just kind of helped us continue to move forward. Through that process, we grew pretty quickly. And so our challenge was finding good technicians to come help. I was able to find a couple of younger guys that just needed mentorship, and I had that with the older gentleman with me. And so we really kind of created a good culture. If we want to expand ourselves and learn, I was able to add another office staff and kind of work with that. But that was probably the challenge. You know, over the years, like you said, you do get to know people and their families and, you know, the good and bad they've gone through. And one of my concerns was, when I sell the company, how do I make sure that they're taken care of, or at least have an opportunity?
Yeah.
And I think when it was all said and done, the agreement that I was able to come with the buyer was, hey, you know, we have office staff that have value. We'd love them to have the opportunity to be looked at. And then the technicians the same way. And I would probably say 50% of my staff stayed, and the other 50% just felt like it wasn't the best fit for them. And I had to be okay with that. That was kind of hard sometimes.
That can be a difficult journey to go through.
100%. 100%. Well, because, you know, I think most owners or people getting into the ownership piece, you don't realize how much you do think about everybody that works for you on a daily basis. I mean, you go to bed at night thinking, am I making payroll, or so-and-so going to be okay from their injury, or whatever's happening with their kid at school, whatever you're hearing in the office, because it does impact. You can't really leave home at home. People bring home into the workplace.
Yeah.
And so you really do have to be prepared for how do you manage that. And I think that's probably something that is a skill set that I have, but I've seen other contractors struggle with the interpersonal skills within the office place, and that can kind of cause disruption.
So you kind of entered into this with an exit strategy in mind when you first got involved with the business.
I did.
What advice would you give somebody maybe today that's saying, hey, you know what, in the next 5 years, I think I might want to sell my business? What kind of things would you say that they should be thinking about right now?
Yeah, I think I would look at it from the buyer standpoint. You know, if you were going to buy somebody today, what are you looking for? Specifically, I was looking for a good customer base. I didn't want to spend the time recreating that. I was looking for a reputation. I didn't have to overcome anything negative. And I was kind of looking for the market in that area. And so my advice to someone who's looking for that exit strategy is, when you leave, your relationships and your connections, they are kind of gone. That new owner has to build those. And you can help a little bit. But in the end, you need to provide that buyer something that's a tangible value. And really, that's, in my opinion, that's through maintenance contracts and extended warranties on, you know, every system we sold, we put an extended warranty on there for up to a decade. Mm. I wanted that customer to know we were going to be here. We were going to be connected. And then when I did sell, whoever bought it was going to be connected to them continually. So I feel like that is a key piece of what would I buy in the end? That's kind of how I would approach it.
So after the fact, I am sure you got some phone calls from employees saying, hey, they're doing things differently here now.
Yes.
You know, that puts you in a little bit of a precarious position with the new ownership. How do you manage that part of the transition?
Yeah, that's difficult because to a certain extent, what they're really expressing to you is I really liked what we had going on before.
Yeah.
You know, and you take that to heart and you're proud on one side because you're like, I'm glad we developed a good culture. And then you're kind of sad that, you know, you put them in a situation that they're having to adapt. But in the end, it's just that encouragement of it's not going to be the same. There's some better opportunities potentially, maybe with a larger company, maybe with some with deeper resources, things of that nature. So I'd always try to re-encourage, let's look for what is better let's work on that.
So what about the customer standpoint? Are you, again, you've got somebody coming in looking to buy your business. How are you vetting that, you know, that person is looking to buy the business because you've built relationship with the customers too?
That's true. That's probably the biggest fear. Yeah. You know, I still live in that community. That's my hometown.
Yeah.
I still see the same people. I would say the majority of people are like, oh, congratulations. Glad you had that opportunity. There are some that will pull me aside and say it's not the same, you know, and you have to be okay with that. Most everybody is not saying that to be demeaning to you, but it is hard to hear maybe some critique of what's happened afterwards because you worked so hard to build something. That's probably just an emotional, mental challenge that you don't prepare for. Nobody teaches you that.
Yeah.
You just have to prepare and go through that. But as far as really vetting out who was going to buy, my questions to the buyer, and I talked to a couple of buyers, what's your intentions? I mean, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to acquire multiple companies so you can flip your company? And that's okay. Are you trying just to expand your market here and, you know, your local guy? And for this buyer, it was both were true. And he was able to expand into some electrical and plumbing things I wanted to do, but I knew I couldn't get there in a short period of time. And so that was part of my decision making is this person that was about to buy me also competes against me. And he has some resources and some things I don't have. And I had to ask the question, do I want to fight that or do I want to be part of that? So there's a lot that goes into that piece. But in the end, we felt good about the character of that company and I felt good about making that move.
So, I mean, on the flip side of it, I would imagine there's some things that you hear back from employees where this is great. This has been a huge opportunity for me. Or even from the customers where you hear, hey, you know, I really appreciate everything you did, but the service we're getting here is, you know, it's top notch. I love the added benefits that came with this.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of that, actually. And those technicians have reached back out to say that exact same thing. It's different, but guess what? What you've taught us, we're actually leading in sales. And our group now in this group is leading in sales. Things of that nature makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But a lot of customers have said, hey, we have moved over to that company and you did well. They were able to take care of multiple items and issues and they were maybe a little faster to respond because they have a bigger staff. And those are things that you want to hear. There's been very, very few scenarios have we not been able to resolve in a happy scenario. But for the most part, I've walked away really haven't looked back because I felt like it was the right thing. Haven't had that, oh no, did I make a mistake? Because I felt like we vetted out properly.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you coming in here. Do you have any last thoughts or words of wisdom that you want to share with our audience?
I guess if I had anything to share, as I look back, you don't know what you don't know, right? Yeah. We've all heard that before. But I feel like in our industry, there's so much change that occurs. And we're kind of an industry that we like to get into habits and rhythm. And it's hard to address changes that come in and be able to proactively implement those things. We're real hesitant to do that. And as I look back, there were probably a few opportunities that I passed up on to improve things for my technicians or my company because I was a little bit afraid to take the time to interrupt the rhythm we were in. And I think I could have bettered our company even more, not just culturally, but even from a sales standpoint at the end. That if I were to do it again, I would probably be more responsive to a change that comes in front of us.
Scott, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming on board. And for all of you that are out there, if you like this episode, please go ahead, hit that like button. Also, make sure that you are following us so that you're informed of all of our upcoming episodes. We look forward to seeing you on our next podcast.